And welcome back on Husker Radio, KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. Tristan Winder, please sit down with my good friend Gary Pearson, president and CEO of the North Platte Area Chamber and Development Corporation. Gary, good to see you back in the studio, sir.
It's always nice to be here. Thank you.
Gary, we just had Nebraska Land Days come to its conclusion. I saw you out and about at pretty much every Nebraska Land Days festivity that was going on and activity. But if you had to pick just a few, what were your favorites or your highlights this year?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's just the thing you love most about it, there's so much diversity to it.
Yeah.
You just go, and everybody kind of has their own day set aside for their activities. Lunch with the Wild Bunch is always a great time. The concerts were just knocking it out of the park. Wonderful, you know, and David Fudge and that board and everybody that's involved in that, all the work that they put into that, and being able to secure acts like that, even some back from my generation, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, just brings back a lot of memories. But it's more about networking with the people and getting to see so many people, and you get a chance to visit with people you don't bump into a lot. So I always just love that part of it, the interaction with people and just the good old fashioned, let's just have some fun and get along and celebrate our heritage, Nebraska.
It's a great showcase opportunity for North Platte and for Lincoln County. And we've talked about it many times before. We'll reiterate it again. The economic development it has is just outstanding. My pea-sized brain can't wrap my mind around it.
Well, one thing that's very interesting to look at is sales tax revenues. Mm-hmm. When you track that, almost every community in the state, December is by far their best sales tax month, with the holidays and everything,
sure,
the Christmas spending, with the exception being North Platte, which June always tops December. From a revenue standpoint, you look at, all the activities as it go from start to finish in June. I mean, June is what North Platte is all about. You got all the different queen competitions, leading up to Nebraska Land Days and all the festivities. And just, it was a little bit hot and windy this year.
But a little bit.
It certainly didn't deter anything. Rodeos, dating back to the days of Buffalo Bill, who invented the rodeo,
exactly,
with his Wild West show, what heritage, and that committee works so hard.
Blessed to have them.
Yeah, they're just so good, and they get good stock in there. It's always very entertaining. Just the amount of volunteer work that goes into pulling this off is just absolutely phenomenal. And everything felt back to normal.
Yes,
it
did.
A couple of years there where it just, it's kind of like, and some people were reluctant, to
sure,
interact or mix as much as they did, but a lot of fun. Gosh, it was enjoyable.
Now, Gary, I'm glad you brought up sales tax. Before we dive into the real conversation we're going to have today, you and I were both in attendance at the City Council work session this week, and we're potentially looking at increasing sales taxes here by half a cent in North Platte for the development of the rec center, a new skate park, and Cody Pool. Where's the Chamber and Development Corporation stand on this potential, Gary?
Well, we're going to have it on our board agenda this month. I'm sure they'll wholeheartedly support it, just as we do all types of development projects. I don't want to be presumptuous and say, the board's going to be 100% on board, but we got great people involved in our board of directors, and they're very proactive. They're very pro North Platte, pro Lincoln County, and they want to see good things happen. And we all know that the rec center needs to be addressed. I mean, all the aging issues there, that can be a catalyst for helping us bring additional employee recruits to town, additional business, because recreation is huge in today's world. Workers can go wherever they want to in today's world because there's such a demand for laborers.
Yep.
So it comes down to which community do I feel at home in? Which community do I feel this is where I want to raise a family? That has a quality of life feel to it, safe environment, recreational offerings. And it's just time that the rec center issues get addressed, Cody Pool issues get addressed. You look at all the communities across the state of Nebraska who have built swimming pools since North Platte has addressed those two issues, and it's pretty significant.
Sutherland has a wonderful pool.
Yeah, we're probably pretty much towards the bottom of the list of the age of the pools. And most aquatic centers, most communities that went to aquatic centers, we need to upgrade that. just recreation in general. I think they got a great overall plan concept they put together on it, on all the amenities. Obviously, it's going to have to be marketed very well so people understand what it is. The state of Nebraska did allow for an additional half cent if it was, and it has specifics to it. It has to be used for projects, infrastructure projects, cannot be modified in any way from that. But the thing of it is, if you address those issues with a half cent infrastructure sales tax, some of the revenue the city is currently spending, you know, to do those kind of things will be alleviated to, to somewhat, you know, won't all, but it'll certainly open up other revenue for other issues that the city has that also needs to be addressed. So
when it comes to hot topics here in North Platte and Lincoln County, Gary, I think we have jobs at the forefront, housing at the forefront, and recreation as well. And we're putting major dents into the housing and job conversation. And this development would put the conversation of the rec center to bed for our lifetimes.
Absolutely. And sooner or later, it just has to.
Yep.
I mean, it just can't sustain itself for forever. You know, it's got several issues that have been identified, and they put 3, 4, 5 good years of work into the latest effort. I mean, it's been ongoing since the 90s, you know, trying to deal with this issue. Sales tax is the fairest form of taxation there is. Because everybody pays just a little bit, and it's all based on your ability
to
purchase. And being an interstate community and a job hub for the entire region, you have a lot of people travel here or work here, you know, don't live here and don't pay the direct property taxes, that kind of thing. So this is their ability to contribute just a little bit, too. When we did some of our studies on retail, when we were trying to attract things, you know, when we were trying to figure out what to do with the mall.
Sure.
We had a study done by a very reliable firm, Buxton, and it showed that in the course of 1 year, 5,000 different zip code pings on cell phones indicated they stopped for a time in North Platte and spent money. I mean, if they stopped, you know, they probably spent
more money than likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and now you got a blossoming motel industry that's continuing to grow. That's all outside revenue.
Yep.
You know, people staying here and finding North Platte an attractive place to be. So, really, I know they used the figure last night of, I think, at least 25% of sales tax is generated from the outside. I could certainly put statistics together that would argue that's closer to 50%.
Sure. That's on the conservative side, the 25%.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I know they're cautious, not wanting to indicate something they can't back up or prove. But in the studies that we've done and some of the demographic things that we've saw, it's closer to that 40 to 50%, and so, you know, it's a great way to get it paid, and not have to put the debt on property taxes or anything else, you know, and so it's up to all that everybody's asking right now is for the city council just to give the people the right to vote on.
Just put democracy into place.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to call it.
And
people that think we're not paying this, we might not be paying this in North Platte, but we're paying it when we go to other communities. Pretty much everybody else is doing this.
Yeah, this sales tax has been around about 10 years, and you can find almost every major community in the state has adopted it in some fashion to address infrastructure issues. And when you address infrastructure issues, you better have something that the people are willing to vote yes on. And recreation is certainly one of those items that is everybody's hot button because everybody gets to benefit.
Sure, absolutely. Now, Gary, we invite you here in the studio today on the heels of a very exciting week with the funding being officially earmarked for the North Platte Area Chamber Development Corporation to receive funds for a Lincoln County-based rail park. Congratulations. This is a major step for the Hershey Rail Park.
Yeah, it's just such a great team effort. I mean, I could go down the list for the next 45 minutes, you know, putting praise on the different people who are involved in it. But it was certainly just a very unified effort. I can't thank people enough. Our board of directors, you know, have such a vision, and they're so committed Making things happen here and giving us the latitude of staff to drive things forward, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And really want to thank former Senator Mike Groning for introducing the legislation, Senator Jacobson to bringing it to the finish line, the legislature for believing in it as well.
And Senator Brewer, we would have been in a lot of trouble without Tom.
Pinched hit there for a little bit, you know, a time to step in and because we still had to have a sponsor on the legislation. Of course, that was the legislation that followed the initial one where it was passed. But this year is what was so significant about it because it became guaranteed funding, not speculative funding over a 10-year period of time if the funds are available. You know, this provided a whole bunch more revenue into it and guaranteed that revenue. We still had to go through the application process and compete with everybody else one-on-one, fair game, you know.
Yep, it was fair for all of Nebraska.
Get it done. And thankfully, we have a very talented staff person in Cassie Condon who was able to organize everything on her computer to be able to, once that opened up, she was able to facilitate getting all that wrapped into an electronic application and get it submitted, and we beat everybody to the punch. So we knew we had the best project, but we also knew how much work we'd done and how many studies we had and all the environmental impact and the feasibility study. That's a lot of data to download and make sure that it's not going to lock up your system, you know, and to slow the process of getting it submitted. But it all worked in the end, and then we wait from January till last week to find out whether we officially got the funding or not. We felt good about it in the legislative process. Nobody was talking about when they got it submitted or whatever, but those communities we knew had also put in, they kind of let the cat out of the bag during some of their testimony on when they actually got the application in. So we just kept ours close to the vest because we knew.
That's the way it's supposed to work in the Chamber Development game sometimes.
That's right.
So
it's supposed to be.
Now, Gary, let's talk a little bit about the history of this project. From what I understand, this has been a conversation in North Platte for a long time, and it was a hard no for a number of years from Union Pacific. And then several years ago, the hard no became a, well, maybe, and let's talk about this a little bit.
When I first came to North Platte, almost 7 years ago now, there was an effort to put it up by Gerald Gentleman Station that was going on, and that was kind of the most current effort. There was some efforts in the past to try to figure out this, you know, the complex issues surrounding Bailey Yard and the heavy traffic that was going through there, how you could not, you don't want to ever impede what's going on there.
Sure.
So how do you make that work to where you can actually access rail somewhere in Lincoln County, you know, without hampering that operation? You'd never trade one for the other. I mean, Bailey Yard is just a phenomenal asset to this community, and it has been for 75 years. But on the flip side, it also has created challenges for the community's ability to be able to recruit industry in that can access rail. And I think that was kind of a forgotten thing. I know when I got here, I had had some success in the Sydney area recruiting industries in there because we did have a really great rail park situation there. And so I knew the value of it. And coming here with thinking Bailey Yard, oh my gosh, we're going to have the best of all worlds when it comes to rail. And I quickly found out, you know, this doesn't quite work that way. And I could tell a lot of the community leadership didn't understand all the complexity or the issues too. So we began working in earnest from day one. And the first effort was, like I said, up there by Gerald Gentleman Station, but it involved a kind of a very complex situation and a rail that comes in there that primarily is designated for coal coming in there, a one-line deal. Long story short, it eventually got to the point where some of the attorneys involved with allowing that to happen just slammed the door on it and said, no, it's not going to happen. So we were to the point where we were actually going to put some studies together and some design work and that kind of thing. So immediately flipped the switch, and that's when I was I reached out to the Union Pacific leadership, and thankfully I was appointed to the Blueprint Nebraska, one of their committees, and was able to network with Lance Fritz and Scott Moore, top two officials in the Union Pacific management echelon. The CEO and the chief operating officer. And I've known Scott for a long, long time. I had not known Lance very well, But that really gave me a chance to have some inside conversations with them on what was going on and how this is kind of hampering our efforts. And then when they had a layoff at Bailey Yard, of course, you know the rumors that go around when that happens and the world's coming to an end and some people have a meltdown. And we just, you know, it's just not a healthy thing for North Platte to go through all that. So I'd ask him to come out here and explain to the community leadership what the real story was. So they heard it from the horse's mouth. So we had a meeting out at Bailey Yard. They asked me to bring, they said, no more than 10 people in leadership positions. And so we got people in that have been elected to the top positions as well.
Including our former mayor. Mayor Livingston's talked about this experience before.
And Jim Hawks, the city administrator at the time, and as well as some of our community leadership. So at that point, they were presenting everything and trying to reassure everybody that, you know, they're going through this modeling deal. They're streamlining. Coal was, obviously, you know, being phased out to some degree just because of all the war on coal going on, you know, and how that was influencing everything. And they needed to also, they were implementing a new plan of action. And so, you know, they said, we're also interested in, we want the best in North Platte because we're still going to be trying to recruit people here and we want to be as attractive as possible. So what's North Platte doing to diversify its economy? And I just point blank told him, I said, okay, then that opens the door for some discussion on why, if we're going to diversify our industrial presence, we have to have access to the mainline rail. And we all know the story behind, you know, how restrictive that is. So the challenge is, can we work together? Can we figure out a place that's strategically in place that would allow us to put perhaps a rail park in place? So from that conversation on, they became very committed to helping us do that. And so we eventually sat down and went through their whole logistics map of entire Lincoln County and where this could potentially happen. And we pinpointed Hershey as the most viable area to have this happen because Greenbrier Rail Service is one of the very exceptions over 75 years where they actually allowed for a spur to come in there and serve that because they were doing direct work in refurbishing wheels.
Direct support industry for UP.
Correct. And there was a longstanding relationship between Greenbrier and UP and allowed for all that to happen. And so they said, you know, that seems to be the place. So at that point, I reached out to, you know, if you don't have willing landowners in the area, that's going to be cooperative in helping you get this done.
It's a mute point.
You just throw up your arms and go somewhere, try to figure out another strategic location. But Dennis Steffes over there in the Hershey area had sold the property to Greenbrier initially. And he owned the surrounding farm ground on both sides of it. So I reached out to Dennis, and, you know, you talk about somebody that's just a salt-of-the-earth Lincoln County farmer, you know, agriculture background that really cares about this county's future and understands the value of bringing new jobs and new investment into the community, and he was so cooperative.
Steffeses are such a great family.
Yeah, they're just solid gold in my book. They're just the type of people and the type of character that you want representing, you know, the heritage of what this community is all about.
Couldn't agree more.
So we worked through potential purchase contracts on his property there, including an old airstrip, and he's got some older buildings out there, which allowed for us to eventually then we'll be able to get that substandard blighted. We've already done the study on that. And then, of course, Greenbrier sitting in the middle of it. And they were still operating at the time. So I began working with them on this potential concept of a rail park, and they were pretty excited about it.
Sure.
You know, it helped them diversify their income stream by helping move cargo in and out of there and using that existing spur and so forth. And so we just became working on that. And then, of course, COVID came along. And holy smoke, here we go again. And it kind of shut down everything, including the railroad industry. 50% of all the rail traffic in the United States was had been shut down and caused Greenbrier to reassess their operations, and they decided they could temporarily consolidate out of their Kansas City operation, still serve Bailey Yard because the demand was far less.
Sure.
And so that's what they did with the intent at that time to always reopen Greenbrier. Then we fast forward about a year and they decided, well, that's just not going to happen. We found that we can at least efficiently still serve it out of Kansas City. But they said, we'll work with you on any potential business that might come along that needs that facility. It's a pretty specialized facility, so it's not just like it's a 53,000 square foot building out there, which is always a high demand building.
Sure.
You know, but it's pretty specialized in the way that it's kind of compartmentalized and has some underground bays and some rail track that comes into it. But they've just been fabulous to work with ever since. And then come along the legislation. Not only our legislation to help fund the park after kind of the word got out what was all going on, but there was another effort by some Omaha leadership to put an Inland Port Authority's status into the state of Nebraska. So once that was co-introduced, then the concept goes that we began thinking strategically, what if we could marry both of them up? Well, the Inland Port legislation said either a first-class community, which is a community over 5,000 population, was eligible, or if it was in a rural area, a county would be eligible. So at that point, we began working with Lincoln County officials on the potential aspect of would an Inland Port Authority be possible, and would they take the lead on trying to make that happen. And so they embraced that. And worked very hard on it. And, Chris Bruns, being the county commission chairman, serves on our board of directors mm-hmm. as well. You know, he took it and began that conduit conversation with everybody on the county commissioner level and so forth, and things we had to keep confidential because, you know, these things can just blow up
oh, sure.
on you. And you have to be very careful when you're dealing with public bodies. You don't have a quorum ever that you're discussing any business with, but so you obviously deal with their elected leadership and go forward from there. And so then we're working on the piece of the funding that Senator Groney introduced, and I worked with his staff person, Joe Murray, on the language that went into it, along with the senator. We got it all tweaked. Got it introduced into the process, and the legislature fully embraced it. I remember going to that first testimonial hearing, you know, and it was interested Senator Flood, who's now, you know, running for, I guess today's the election of, yep. for the U.S. Congress seat.
And soon to be running for a full time, too.
Full time, too. But anyways, in the legislature, and I've known Senator Flood for some time, and we dealt with some other legislative issues in my previous life, and he sat there in a hearing, and I thought, oh boy, here we go, you know, because at that point we were asking for less than $10 million, you know, to help get this established. He says, I got one big problem with all this going on. He says, you're not asking for enough money. If you're going to make this thing work, and we understand the uniqueness now of Bailey Yard, it's been explained to us quite well. And here it's like Chicago O'Hare Airport sitting out there, you know, with all this traffic congestion. But yet if you can't take advantage of the fact that it exists, meaning Bailey Yard, and augment that with a rail park, then we're not doing our job as a state of Nebraska leadership. And from that point forward, you know, the funding cycle became more discussion and getting that going. And then a year later, we're able to augment that with additional funding because revenues in the state of Nebraska were peaking upwards,
yes,
just
thankfully.
Like they are here on sales tax. And then the ARPA funding came down, which allowed the state to redirect some of those funds to other projects that mm-hmm. would have probably been coming after that general fund revenues where actually our funds for the rail park came from. And it just, you know, it just all fell together. But holy smoke, what a trail we followed for 5-6 years, you know, to get to that point. and then putting the whole coalition of testimony together and all the people that wrote letters of support and all the entities we got on board. And we did 99.9% of all the work to get that legislation through the process and adopted. But then when the application process open and more funding became available, here come all the other communities.
Yep.
What about us? You know, we got rail park needs too. You know,
and it's great to hear Senator Jacobson talk about this as well, because what a great defender of the 42nd Legislative District and of the Hershey Rail Park too, with yep. Senator Jacobson, as you well know, Gary.
Yeah, he was a stalwart. I mean, he was like the guy playing nose guard on the goal line. You know, he wasn't going to let anybody infiltrate that line, you know, to try to modify the language after the fact, after we went through the application
process. They got to the dance a little bit later than we did.
And then they wanted to change the ground rules, for crying out loud, after everybody, it became apparent that North Platte was probably the likely recipient.
Well, yeah, sure they did.
Who only done 99.9% of the work, and then they want to take the funding away from
us?
Sure. Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yep. Mike Jacobson's not going to let that pass.
he didn't. And he just did phenomenal work. People don't understand what goes on the floor or behind the scenes, you know, to get those things done. And, you know, Senator Groney was a bulldog on it, too,
you know,
in the early stages of it. So I couldn't have asked for better legislative support to get us to this point. And then to have the county also now embrace it. And yesterday at their county commissioner meeting, they everything became, you know, they went through the public process and we got everything on the table and explained everything. And they've embraced now establishing a territory, a 339-acre area for an inland port authority
wow.
designation, which sets the stage for them to apply now for one of those five designated inland ports once they open the application process, which we still do not know what it's going to look like.
We're waiting at the front of the line for this to
right.
be open, essentially.
They have done yeoman's work to get that done. Tyler Volkmer, deputy county attorney, was phenomenal in getting all the resolutions and everything put together. And then we started having just internally discussions on, okay, you know, we can't let that Greenbrier facility just sit there and all of a sudden somebody else comes along, buys it. They're not going to embrace the rail park. They're just going to be selfish about everything. And it could have happened.
A lot of unknowns when properties for sale like that. Anybody could buy it and do anything with it.
Right. So I told the Greenbrier officials, I treat all industry prospects like this, that I tell them I got a prospect. I'm not in a liberty to divulge who it is, but they're very interested in the facility. And even prior to that, we began work in putting together in our application for the rail park funding itself the potential purchase of Greenbrier. So I had all the language in the agreement in place. And of course, it said North Platte Chamber and Development Corporation on it. So yesterday, when all this became public knowledge, and the commissioners made the decision they did to enter into negotiations to purchase that as the headquarter kind of site for the Inland Port Authority, and then the catalyst in the middle of our rail park, then I was able to reach out to the Greenbrier officials, get them informed. And so now the commission chairman and the deputy county attorney have been authorized to work directly with their leadership on doing that. We're still waiting on the state of Nebraska to indicate to us if Lincoln County is the purchaser of it, does that help qualify for the local investment that we have to have for the local match to access the $30 million of the state funding? We have to come up with $7.5 million in local
sure.
match. And we don't want to have that $4.5 million for Greenbrier slip away. And the county, it's a good use of the ARPA funding that they're getting. It's not local tax dollars, you know, other than what everybody pays to the feds, you know, that goes nationwide. But this is a huge thing. It's just not going to be a spur of the moment, help you a little bit over here, help you a little. This helps Lincoln County long-term be able to help us recruit industries in here to build our economy, bring more jobs, bring more investment, bring wonderful opportunities to our ag community on the potential of having a foreign trade zone or free trade zone established along with this Inland Port Authority. And it just is a phenomenal partnership that can work. So We're working out all the details now, and the state needs to will have to let us know if that is going to count. If it doesn't, if they can't be the direct purchaser of it, then they'll work through us to do so. And because we, by that legislative bill with the rail park funding, have to be the developer of the rail park. I also made sure language got inserted in there that we can sell off portions of it to direct industry because, you know, most people prefer to own, not lease, ground. And but it has to also have the state of Nebraska's approval to do that.
And is there some interest in that already, Gary, or...?
Absolutely. I mean, we're working with a I'll tell you how much interest it is. In fact, some local producers were willing to help us raise $250,000 to do a feasibility study on a major anchor industry at the in our rail park.
Wow.
And the study's almost completed now. And it looks very, very promising, but it involves an ag product that is grown in our region that would move the bases of for local farm producers, ag producers, to where it is just going to be a great thing for them. It kind of the same concept as of a sustainable beef.
Okay.
And then, you know, you look at a sustainable beef, they got to have somewhere to ship their frozen beef product.
Sure.
Like all processing plants have. And so this is going to be great for them, too. We're working with a third company and a fourth company, but I'd say three of them are dead serious, you know, about going into our rail park. And so, you know, it's we're turning the wheel. The wheels have never stopped turning any single hour of any single day since we started working on this. And it's not just a start-stop thing. You know, it's just it has systematically.
Sure, it's a continual process.
And it doesn't happen with the snap of a fingers. It takes a long time to put it together and to nurture it along, and things could blow up at the last minute. You never know. And, of course, we know that the world's changing, you know, the interest rates and,
yeah.
you know, and supply chain issues and all that crap. But it just, you know, we're going to overcome that. We're in it for the long haul. It's not the short haul to get this thing put together. One other thing I'd like to mention quickly.
Well, before you do, Gary, so there's you mentioned a trio of different prospects at the rail yard.
Correct.
So that includes one anchor.
Correct.
And two other, they wouldn't be anchors, but two strong employers?
Two strong. Both are ag-related.
Okay.
Well, the frozen beef would be,
okay.
be one of them. And then the other one, I'm not going to publicly say,
sure.
you know, what it is, but it's also another ag product that is grown in our area that would also have some processing value added to it.
And these are three very serious businesses wanting to come here. Not to mention there's numerous other ones that are entertaining this as well, some of which we don't even know about probably.
Right. The sustainable beef thing will have probably 4 to 5 other companies that are ancillary businesses that will do some type of networking with
sure.
them. One like the hides, the, you know, maybe a pet food processor, you know,
sure.
Using some of the spoils the cattle processing. And, you know, it has so much spillover impact. And so all of those things are in place too. A lot of those are on the sidelines waiting for sustainable beef to break ground and move dirt, and then everything becomes real to them as well.
Sure.
You know, just like our announcement with the rail park, you know, it's all speculative until, you know, you see evidence that what's going on.
And there's a domino effect, as we see already.
Yeah. And then that doesn't count what's going on with the Greenbrier thing and the Inland Port Authority.
Sure.
So it just is. It feels so good, and it's coming all together. But one thing I wanted to mention, it's almost a little bit funny, but I can understand how people get confused. You know, we call it a rail park. Well, there's a lot of confusion out there by some people who think it's like a Golden Spike Tower to where we're going to have a museum for rail cars
sure.
to be out there and to view, you know, in this rail park thing.
When I first heard the rail park, I thought they're going to have some sort of playground equipment by the train track. Doesn't seem like the best idea to me, but okay. So yeah, I could see the misconception.
Oh, sure. So, Maybe we should have called it a rail complex or rail business
rail industrial
complex.
Park or some sort.
Well, I'm trying to use the word industrial all the time now just so people get it.
Yep.
But, you know, it's like Twin Rivers Business Park. That's what it is. You know, it's a business park. But so I don't know. It's all terminology, but I get the confusion. And one guy was telling me his mom was all upset we're spending $30 million to build a museum, you know, for people to go look at railroad cars. And he said, it's okay, Mom. It's not going to be that.
I would be upset too if I was her. I could see the frustration. But yes, this is a great project. And like you said, Gary, there's a lot of people that have put in a lot of work to this. A lot of them need to be thanked. But at the top of the list really is you and the chamber staff. I know that there's a lot that goes unseen and unnoticed and most importantly underappreciated from the Chamber and Development Corporation here locally. But this couldn't be done without you and the staff. You're leading the ship over there and you're leading it in such a great direction. This is a project that would not be done without Gary Pearson, the North Platte Area Chamber and Development Corporation. And I've talked to several people about this recently. I'll mention Senator Jacobson, Commissioner Bruns, and Mr. Fudge from the Nebraska Land Days organization. All three of them have agreed with me on this when I brought this up. I'll put Gary Pearson up against anybody else on all of God's green earth when it comes to Chamber Development Corporation, and we're going to come out victorious. So tip the cap to you and everybody else for making this possible and for the continued efforts with Union Pacific as well and not giving up.
Well, thank you, Tristan. Those are very kind words, and you know, that's your paycheck in life. You know, But that's why you hire that person.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just doing my job. And I appreciate the fact that people support and have faith in us to get it done. And that's, you know, that's what I've tried to have been my track record throughout my professional life is to get things done. And so I'm very blessed to have had a number of different opportunities to build, you know, experience and to understand the concepts and development practices on how they work. So, it happened because people believed in me and I believed in them. I believed in, you know, the people who I was representing. And I had those direct conversations with North Platte when they were recruiting me here 7 years ago. And
when they were successfully recruiting
here.
They tried before.
Yeah, they tried three other times in different aspects of it. But, you know, but that planted the seed. It planted a seed, and I've known a lot of people in North Platte that, you know, some business people that did projects in Sydney where I was before. I was on the Governor Orr staff and covered the whole western half of the Nebraska in my very youthful career and developed relationships with everybody. And then the League of Municipalities, you know, I knew all the North Platte officials. And then my old buddies in the JC days.
Oh, sure.
You know, at North Platte group and our group in Sydney, we were very, very close. We were very tied together. So
rowdy bunches.
Yeah. Those guys, you know, they're kind of my outlet in life. You can just go be you, you know, because they know where you came from. And so it's North Platte is just it's a great, great community. Love living here. Love the people. And certainly we now have laid the groundwork for some wonderful opportunities to happen. And by golly, we're going to keep making them happen.
Look forward to talking more about these exciting developments and exciting new projects coming our way too with you in the near future, Gary. So appreciate the transparency and the willingness to come down here to the station and look forward to having you on the program again here in the near future to talk more about the excitement we have in our community.
Well, Tristan, really appreciate you and everything that you do and Husker Radio. You guys just knock it out of the park all day long.
Thanks, Gary.